From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As Dr. Cairns continues this series of studies in the Book of Acts, he concludes a message entitled Compromise, Testimony, and Conspiracy. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought by C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
Our text for this morning comes from Romans chapter 8 and verse 17. Joint heirs with Christ. The boundless realms of his Father's universe are Christ's by prescriptive right. As heir of all things, he is the sole proprietor of the vast creation of God, and he has admitted us to claim the whole as ours, by virtue of that deed of joint heirship which the Lord hath ratified with his chosen people. The golden streets of paradise, the pearly gates, the river of life, the transcendent bliss, and the unutterable glory are, by our blessed Lord, made over to us for our everlasting possession. All that he has, he shares with his people. The crown royal he has placed upon the head of his church, appointing her a kingdom, and calling her sons a royal priesthood, a generation of priests and kings. He uncrowned himself, that we might have a coronation of glory. He would not sit upon his own throne, until he had procured a place upon it for all who overcome by his blood. Crown the head, and the whole body shares the honor. Behold here the reward of every Christian conqueror, Christ's throne, crown, scepter, palace, treasure, robes, heritage are yours. Far superior to the jealousy, selfishness, and greed which admit of no participation of their advantages, Christ deems his happiness completed by his people sharing it. The glory which thou gavest me have I given them. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. The smiles of his Father are all the sweeter to him, because his people share them. The honors of his kingdom are more pleasing, because his people appear with him in glory. More valuable to him are his conquests, since they have taught his people to overcome. He delights in his throne, because on it there is a place for them. He rejoices in his royal robes, since over them his skirts are spread. He delights the more in his joy, because he calls them to enter into it.
Wondrous joy, wondrous peace, wondrous love, coming from the Father above. All thy works rejoice around the earth, and heaven reflect the rays. Stars and angels sing around the center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea. Chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Wondrous joy, wondrous peace, wondrous love. What measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. O love of God. Forest, vale, and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Wondrous joy, wondrous peace, wondrous love.
Regular Bible reading is an essential part of the Christian life. In the Holy Scriptures, God has given us everything we need to know for salvation, for spiritual growth, and for the many issues and problems that believers face. However, many Christians do not profit from the Bible as they should because they have no guidance as to how to study it. Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Missionary journeys were over, and the latter part of Acts chapter 20 finds him returning to Jerusalem. From this point on in the narrative, he is Paul, the prisoner of the Lord. In Jerusalem, there were many Jews who had come to saving faith in Christ, but who yet clung to the old sacrificial system. Some of the church leaders persuaded Paul to participate with them in the rituals in order to keep peace, an action that jeopardized Paul's message that there was no other way to be saved except faith in Christ alone. Then Paul was falsely accused of bringing Gentiles into the temple. Having been set upon by the Jews, he was rescued by a Roman centurion. Given an opportunity to speak to the Jews, Paul testified of his salvation experience and of how God used him to carry the gospel to the Gentiles. At that point, a riot broke out. and 40 of the Jews entered into a conspiracy to kill Paul. Now to conclude this message, Compromise, Testimony, and Conspiracy, here is Dr. Cairns.
Martin Luther, I can't say I have it word for word, but I always can remember this. A quotation from Martin Luther, which, liberally translated, runs something like this. If I stand for every truth of God, except that truth which is under particular attack at a given moment, I'm unfaithful. It's very easy to stand and fight battles that were fought and won 100 years ago. There are men who will wax eloquent against the higher critics who are long since gone, and they're still fighting. I'm not saying there's no place for this. There is a place for it, certainly, in the theological seminaries of the country. But there are preachers, and they're still fighting the battle against Wellhausen and all the rest of the German rationalists. But they're not fighting any battle against the spiritual offspring of these people who are on the go today. Now, any fool can fight a dead Goliath. Any fool can do that. But what's needed today is men like Paul who will take their stand on that particular truth which is under attack from the devil at that particular time. God give us that kind of grace and that kind of courage to stand up and be counted in the time of confrontation. The confrontation led to a commotion, chapter 22, verse 22 through to the end. There's a lot there to occupy you. Fury of the crowd, caused by the reference to the Gentiles, their frenzy. They wanted to deny him even a just trial. They stripped their clothes off, not like the people who were going to kill Stephen. They stripped their clothes off and led them in a heap. These people couldn't get their hands on Paul, so they stripped their clothes off and they flung them in the air in a furious frenzy, madness that they couldn't get their hands on Paul. You'll notice the franchise that Paul claimed, the privilege of citizenship that he claimed. He said, I'm a Roman citizen. The relation of the Christian to the state. And we could take a whole series of messages on that. But Paul claimed his citizenship. Now, if you take your Bible sometime and just study this, and I'm only giving this as a guiding principle. In Acts 16, he was in Philippi. Remember that? After he was beaten, he claimed his citizenship. Now, that put those magistrates in trouble, because if Paul informed against them, every one of them would have lost his life. That was Roman law. He didn't inform, he just claimed his citizenship after he'd been beaten. Here in Acts chapter 22, he claims his citizenship before the Romans can beat him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, we find that there were two other occasions when he was beaten. And we're not even told whether he claimed his citizenship at any time in the proceedings. Now, put it all together and you'll find this, that Paul used his privileges under the law as he conceived they would best further the interests of the kingdom of God. You see, if Paul had claimed his citizenship before he was beaten in Philippi, the Philippian jailer would never have been saved. Here's a man that's living in close touch. I don't for a minute think that Paul knew beforehand that the Philippian jailer was going to be saved, but God did. The Lord did. And here was a man who was living in such close touch with the Lord that what he did, he had the instruction of the Lord about. And what he did was not for his own comfort. It was not dictated by what seemed best to him, but it was dictated by the Word of God and by the glory of the Lord Jesus. If any man ever had a right to say as he did to the Corinthians, whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God, this was the man. May God indeed teach us that lesson and do all for his glory. Chapter 23 brings us to the council meeting. The first 10 verses are interesting. Paul's before the council and he Well, he's a bit of a, I suppose you'd say there's a bit of the Irish in him, because here you see his quick temper. Sometimes you tend to get a view of a plastic man when you read of a man in the Bible. You know that he's not made up of feelings like we are. But Paul was like Elijah, a man of like passions as we are. And here you see his passion. He said, quite honestly, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day. The high priest Ananias said, slap him in the mouth. And they did that. And you'll notice what Paul said. God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. Man, I can just see the fire in him there. God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, for sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law. Now, every word that Paul said was true. Every word that he said was true. But they said, revilest thou God's high priest? Notice how very holy these lawbreakers can become. Revilest thou God's high priest? Now, Paul's answer is very significant. He takes the correction, and even though every word of what he said was right, he says, the word of God commands that I am not to revile the ruler of my people. And he took it back. But listen to how he put it. He said, brethren, I wist not that it was the high priest. Stop and think now. I didn't recognize him. This is one of the texts that go to show us that the thorn in the flesh for Paul was something that took away his sight. Here he was, right in the presence of the high priest. And he couldn't even recognize him. Didn't know it was him. But listen, if Paul was lacking in sight, he was not lacking in insight, as the next verses show. Because he sees the Pharisees on the one side, the Sadducees on the other side. And led of God, he says, there's nothing better than a good fight between the devil and the devil. And so he sets the Pharisees against the Sadducees. He takes a stand on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's acquitted by the Pharisees. And the whole thing breaks up in dissension and in confusion. Now, as soon as that happened, verse 11, he was given the comfort of the Lord. This is a great verse. This is one of those times when the Lord stood by Paul. The night following, the Lord stood by him. Listen. Be of good cheer, Paul. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. I marvel at the kindness of the Lord. There's not a word about Paul's failure. There's not a word about compromise. There's not a word about whether he should be in Jerusalem or whether he shouldn't. A lot of preachers have thrown a lot of mud at the great apostle. But when he met with the Savior, the Lord never said a word about it. He said, Paul, be of good cheer. You've borne witness of me here, and you're going to bear witness in Rome. Now watch finally the conspiracy from verse 12 through to the end of the chapter. I always love to read a couple of verses here. It does my heart good. Maybe it's the sadist in me, but I must say I like this part. Because there were some, verse 12, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, or with an oath of execration, as the margin puts it, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. Man, there you have your hunger strikers. And certainly they were on hunger strike to the death. I'd love to have seen those rascals. There they were, so holy. They take an oath before God. They're not going to eat nor drink until they can kill Paul. And they're so honest and upright that they set in motion a whole plan and a whole procedure. And here they are. They say, you send for them, as if there were a matter, some great theological concern that we have got to clear up. And as soon as he comes, there's 40 of us, or more than that, and we're going to get him. Well, Paul's sister's son, he heard about it, informed Paul, the centurion, and the captain. And Paul was led away to Caesarea, to Felix. And that's where we'll come across him next. What I want you to notice is this. Here's the conspiracy. And as I say, I've just sketched it. I haven't time to preach it. But there's one thing I want you to notice. And I never really stopped to think of this until last night. I was looking over this and I then contrasted verse 11 and verse 12. God says, Paul, I say you'll bear witness for me in Rome. 40-odd Jews, murderers, say, Paul, we're going to get you in Jerusalem. God says one thing. The devil and his crowd say the other. If ever you have a proof that man proposes but God disposes, you have it here. And I'll tell you this. Paul bore witness in Rome. He got there. 40 murderers couldn't stop him. And I'll go further. Once God had spoken the words of verse 11, it wouldn't have mattered whether the centurion and the captain had taken Paul to Caesarea or not. It wouldn't have mattered whether every Roman soldier had withdrawn from him and left him exposed to the murderers. The very angels of heaven would have come to his defense at that time. It was impossible for Paul to die at the hands of the Jews in Jerusalem, for God had said, you're going to go to Rome. They couldn't do a thing about it. Now, they could try. Of course, you will see that in these things, God uses means. He not only ordains the end, but he ordains the means. But I'm glad to know this, that when God says something, he means it. When our God promises to do something, he does it. His counsel shall stand. He shall do his will. Who is there can stay the hand of the Almighty? Thank God there's none. We serve a sovereign God. Some people get upset with the thought of the sovereignty of God and his purpose and his decree. Man, I couldn't live without that. I'm delighted to know that God's in control. I'm glad to know that the future of the world's not in the hands of some clown like Mr. Brezhnev in Moscow or a communist president of France or a Tory prime minister of England or even a conservative president of the United States. I'm glad to know that our God's in control. I am not very old, but I can remember the 1962 Cuban Missile Crisis. Most of you, of course, can remember that, being much older than I am. But you remember that time? You know, there were preachers. There were preachers running around like clucking hens. And there they were, and they were clapping their hands, and oh, how near we were to the end of the world. Mr. Kennedy could have us in nuclear warfare, and Mr. Khrushchev at that time, he could just blow the United States up. Terrible thing. Terrible thing if one of these men did the wrong thing. I'm not talking with hindsight now. I was only a youngster then, but I had the sense to know that there's a God in heaven. There's a God there. And he's in control. And this world will not be blown to bits by a Russian bomb or an American bomb. That's not to say there'll not be wars and bombings and all the rest of it. But what I'm saying is when this world goes up, I've heard preachers talk about the elements melting with a fervent heat, and then they say, now nuclear physics has produced this weapon and that weapon. When this world melts with a fervent heat, there'll not be a nuclear physicist with one finger in the pie. It will be the fire of God will do it. It'll be the hand of God will do it. God's in control. Man, let's get back to this, that we serve God. God. He does as he wills. And men can curse, and they do. And men can oppose, and they do. And they can say there'll be no gospel preached and we're going to bring to an end this and that. God will do his will. There's not a doubt about it. And I tell you this. When the time comes and God makes up the full number of his people, there'll not be an empty chair around the tables at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Not be an empty chair. And then will come to pass the absolute fulfillment of the words which the Lord Jesus said, of all that thou hast given me, I have lost none.
haven't lost one of them. Not one. But some of them are weak. Some of them have very faltering faith. Some of them are sorely tempted. Some of them fall flat on their face. Jesus says, I haven't lost one. Thank God we have a great Savior. A divine Savior. His is the victory. Let us serve Him in confidence. Let us serve Him with diligence. Let us serve Him in the absolute assurance that He is the conqueror.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.